Well, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I tell you what, you know, songs like that, they make the devil shudder. They really do, because you know what? People get excited. If you were to go to any regular rock concert, yeah, you'll have your little ballads and everybody stand there. Well, nowadays it's your cell phones with the picture of a cigarette lighter on it, and they're all going back and forth. But you know what? When you get into the house of God and people realize, hey, I'm allowed to dance. I'm allowed to move. You cannot help. I don't care. I'm standing usually in the back and I see everybody. You're trying to hide it. You're trying. Praise God, it's not. Oh, praise God. Well, yes, I am dressed a little down this morning, and I only addressed that because I've got to open this up because I'm hot. I'm like, Lord, I'm sweating back here. If you're cold this morning, whew. But I'm going to forewarn you, I am wearing a t-shirt. Okay? So there we have it. So, but today we do get to honor our veterans here today. And so, you know, but before we did all that, we've honored our Father in heaven. And, you know, we're going to continue. I'm going to bless the tithe and offering here this morning. Make sure that's I'm not pulling pages out of my Bible. But, you know, this is such an honor right here to be able to do this, to give to God what belongs to Him. You know, we really don't give Him credit enough for what He does in our life. The Word says, without Him, I can do nothing. Without Him, you can't do anything. Well, I got along just fine. You don't understand. It was because of Him that we even have life. So let's get the narrative right here. Because of God, we have the breath of life in us. Obviously, today we have some people who are under the weather, and so they're staying away so as not to keep spreading garbage. And so, yeah, you know what? When common sense. You know, I have to be honest with you. Angela and I have talked about this before, and she knew my stand on that a long time ago. You know, I've heard guys, and I'm going to tell you right now, some of you in here, and you know it, and you've heard it preached. I go to work, I was sick as a dog, but I kept working. All you kept doing was keep spreading and spreading and spreading it to your other employees. And, you know, and I got sick. I was like, you know, the Marine Corps, I don't know, there's no such thing as sick days. So that was my first job. I had a fever and I was out on a 20-mile march and passed out during it and got out and finished it, finished the last 10 miles anyhow. But when I got into the civilian world, I'm like, no, I'm sick. I'm going to stay home. Well, you're going to lose today's pay. That's fine. Do you want me to come here and just sit and stare at you? Because that's all I feel like doing. And you know what? And now they're finally realizing maybe telling people to go to work sick was a stupid idea to begin with. You think? But here's the sad part. The church did the same exact thing. Come to church sick. No, if you're sick, stay home. Don't share your love, please. I make sure everybody knows twice a year this is what goes on with me. I get gravelly and lose my voice. So, but I'm working hard at not losing it. But we're going to pray for those who are sick today as well. Because, you know what, there's a lot of people, there's some people at home watching because of that, and, you know, and there's other people I haven't made contact with, but everybody's running scared right now. Let's just be truthful. A lot of people are running scared right now. They don't know what to believe, and we need the truth to rise up. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You and I praise You, Lord, for this opportunity to stand before Your people, to be Your representative of Jesus Christ in this community and before these people. And now, Lord, We pray for those among us who are sick. Father, we pray that you touch them by the stripes of Jesus Christ and by the name and the blood of Jesus Christ. They are healed and whole. Sickness and disease has to leave. We join our faith with them that they shall recover. Lord, I thank you. You're moving right now in the homes of people all across this county, across this state. Father, I also thank you, Lord, that truth will be realized. Father, that it will come to the forefront. Father, I thank you and praise you for what you're doing. And now, Lord, we present to you today our tithe and our offering. Lord, it is everything. It represents us, our blood, sweat, and even tears. So, Father, I present it to you as holy in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated for just a few moments. Okay. We're doing something a little different this year, and then next year we're going to plan on doing something even different. But when Angela asked me what I had in mind, I said, you know, I really don't know yet. I mean, I saw something and I said, but I don't think we can pull that off in this short a time. But what we did do is, a while back I was contacted about homeless vets. You know, doggone it, that shouldn't be. And, you know, I found out some things, and honestly, you know, while I live out by the campground that always seems to show up on the police blotter every week, I was informed by the Veterans Association here in town that if it weren't not for that campground, there are several vets in there who would be homeless, possibly even other people. And I was like, oh, Lord. So I started changing the way I prayed. And so I believe God may be stirring in me. I've got some brothers from the Gideons. They contacted me a couple weeks ago and asked if there's anything to be praying about. I said, yeah, this is what I want you to pray about. It's been on my heart. So when Angela presented a few things to me, I said, you know what? This one they can get Bibles through their chaplains. Bibles are available day or night through the chaplains. Even if you're in the field, they got Bibles. And I just don't know. And then she came up with something else. I said, that's what we need to do. So what we've done is we've given $200 to Faith Missions Veteran Services. And they have two programs for homeless vets: emergency shelter beds specifically for veterans, and the Supportive Services for Veterans Families program. Because there's families that are just homeless now too. But the Supportive Service for Veterans Family helps veterans family attain stable housing, whether they are currently homeless or on the verge of becoming homeless. Families work with case managers to provide needed temporary financial assistance, linkage, and community and VA benefits, and a plan to improve their housing stability. So that is what we have done in the name of all the veterans here. Now, I know we have a few that are not, and let me see, I think I'm, okay, there's actually one who's not here, but Dave Rollins, he's a veteran. So the two that I know of, is there any other vets that I don't know of besides Pat and Harold? Okay, so Patrick and Harold, if you'd come up. I have my card. Mine's up here. But gentlemen, thank you. So, yeah. Yeah. I guess. All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. All right, now you can be seated for just a moment, because I'm going to tell you what we're going to do next year. Lord willing. I've learned to start saying that. What triggered this new thing in me was I was looking through my Sergeant Grit catalog, which is where I get this stuff. It's all full of Marine Corps stuff, but they had something in there that made me think. And I know there's a population of veterans who pretty much go unnoticed. And that's those in the nursing homes. And they had these cool little bags. Now, these ones were embroidered with the Eagle Globe and Anchor. But they clip onto their walkers. Now, you know, it'd be for male or female, because you know what? The women I know who have served are just as proud as the men. And so we would like to probably, starting in July, start making contact with the homes, the nursing homes in this county, and I'm going to ask the vets and some other people to jump in and help on this, because I think by being veterans, we'll get through further than other people will. But we'll address that down the road. And what I would like to do is to give every vet, if they have a walker, if they are restricted to a walker, a bag like that. Because I've done a lot of work in nursing homes, and I've seen them. Man, they carry everything. It is actually kind of hilarious to see these old men walking down the hall with their walkers with their remote to their TV in their bag. They are not leaving it for their roommate. They make sure that remote is with them. But it's just kind of a way, because I thought that, and I thought, you know what? I would have one. I would have one. So that, but through Sergeant Grit, they're $25 each, which isn't all that ridiculous by any means, but it was just Marines. Okay? Y'all noticed, even if I'm outnumbered 3-1 in here. So we would need Army ones as well. So I'm thinking maybe contacting the embroidery warehouse and seeing if she could embroider. I know she can, because she did this. Embroider each branch that we find out who has, and then if there's people who are bedridden and cannot walk, we would make a substitutionary gift. So that is the plan as of right now. So I think, like I said, it's going to take a little bit more time, because I know three, and I think there may be four. There's another smaller one, maybe a couple smaller homes that we would like to, I want to make sure they get covered. So, but that would give us 4 months if we start in July, July 4th. Yeah, and plus they might be more open to receiving stuff like that at that point. So like I said, that's kind of where we're at with that. So, anyhow. All right, so at this time, the super kids are dismissed. And Miss Vicky, what was our count so far? 314 on the boxes. So we're up to 314 boxes. And again, I know there's some families who attend here, but you're not here today, so bring your box in, and it will still count. We have, but yeah. So we got that taken care of. All right. Grab my eyeballs. We have been in the book of Matthew, chapter 5. For the last couple weeks, and we're going to kind of hang out in the book of Matthew for several more weeks. Because as I've read through the book of Matthew, and particularly this is the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus starts with what we call the Beatitudes. But then he begins to start talking about things that are more about our character. And, you know, there's a problem in the body of Christ when we want to stick to rules, but yet we don't care about character. Character is what you're known by. What type of person are you? And as I've looked through there, Jesus is more concerned about our character while we're alive than he is about making us rich, than he is about healing. I know some of you just fell over backwards in your mind. He doesn't want you to go to hell. And so there's some things that, you know, I think it's time to get back. The other night, you know, many of you, I've talked to you before about the dream that I had years and years ago now. about the county and the nation, or the county and some spiritual warfare, and you know, people marching and showing off what they can do and stuff. And God told me to lay down until morning, and He laid me down in this grassy field, and then I realized that He'd camouflaged me. But the other night I had the sequel to that dream. And I saw this car that turned out to be about between a 75 and 77 Lincoln Continental. Big old monster car. If you're not sure, it's about the length of this stage. No, not quite that long. But in which I don't even know why, but this young guy took me to it and said, "Hey, you got to see this old car, because I like old cars." And I went there and I'm looking, and I thought, well, yeah, it could be a cool car, but I'm really not interested. I mean, that is a boat. They had 460s in them. That's what they put in dump trucks. And anyhow, the guy came out that I needed to talk to, and he was so happy that somebody was interested in this truck or this car. And I said, "Man, it is a cool car, and somebody's going to have a great car." But I said, "This, you know, in my heart, I'm going to tell you, the car was green, white, raggedy, half vinyl top, no windows in it, had a little bit of rust here and there, but overall it was in good shape for a car that old in Ohio." And I told him, I said, I really don't have the room. I said, "My wife," I said, "the only place I got to put it is in her spot in the garage, and she's not going to go for that." But about that time, I heard the roar of jets. And I looked up in the night sky. My other dream was at night too, with fighters and stuff as well. And I looked up in the sky, and then I saw like the tail end of a rocket, and I saw something explode. And then about that time, I saw another. It was a slower moving, but it was jet powered. But it was a bomber, and he was banking, coming back around. And about that time, two fast movers, which are fighter jets, came flying in overhead. They banked back around and they took off and they chased that bomber away. And then all of a sudden, it went to daytime. I mean, just like that. It went to day. I could see the blue sky, the white clouds. I could see the trees. I could see the guy in front of me. I could see everything clearly. Next thing I know, I'm driving down the road. I got to go home and I got to deal with this. Except I'm driving this old car, which I found out did not have brakes. It ran, but it didn't have brakes, so I hit a tree, and I backed up, and I got going, and I'm trying to get Angela. She's still shaking hands and being friendly with people, and I'm like, "Come on, woman," and the car would not let me back up. I said, "You got to keep coming. I can't back up now." We sat for a couple hours talking about this thing, because I'm like, this thing was vivid, and when I have a dream like that, I remember them. And I told her, I said, "Here's what I think it was. It was God telling me to get back to what I knew." See, Lincoln was a great emancipator. Get back to what I knew worked. To what actually could do it. The Word of God, our character. There's a lot of other imagery in there, which don't need, like I said, it took us several hours. But God has been telling me lately, as I told you before, get back to what works. Us worrying about trying to decipher the end times, come on. There's a whole denomination set up on that, the Seventh-day Adventists. I just got their paper the other day. Yeah, it was actually kind of cool, but I'm like, come on. We're fighting in this day and age over, yes, by the way, folks, if you don't know, Saturday is the Sabbath. It is the Sabbath. Today is not the Sabbath. This is a day we give to the Lord. You're supposed to be taking Saturday off. But we won't get into that, because I'm not going to put you under any kind of legalism. But what God has been telling me is to get back to the bare minimum, to what really works. This car didn't look like it worked, but it was going to take me to where I had to go with the revelation God had given me. So I'm here to deal with what God has given me. So Matthew chapter 5, we're going to go back to verse 20, which is where we ended last week. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. We cannot live by legalism, which is what the scribes and Pharisees did. I've told you for years, there's a greater law we have got to live by, and that is the law of love. It trumps it all. Because the law became so twisted and perverted as it is, as the church law is today, and as our own laws are today. And that's why we need to keep praying for our leaders. Listen, I don't care. I do care who gets in. Let me rephrase that. However, I want you to know that I will not stop praying for them. Peter prayed for Caligula, a man who made his horse a senator. It was a senator, right? Yeah. Come on! Yeah, we're not, maybe not too far from that now, but I'm here to tell you, we have got to pray for those who are in our leadership position. Oh, and also remember, they work for us. Remind them. But our righteousness has to go above legalism. We can't have twisted, perverted church law. Well, this is okay for me, but it's not okay for you. No, the same laws apply to me that apply to you. So here we go. You have heard it said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whoever says you fool shall be in danger of hellfire. Now, Raca and fool. Raca basically is an attack on the person, calling him a blockhead or you moron. This is an attack on a person as an individual. Fool is just their character, okay? But when you tack that, Jesus is saying, you are the one in danger of judgment. You are in danger of hellfire. Let me keep moving on. Yeah, well, let me stop right here. But hellfire, this word, when you translate it back in, it goes to Gehenna. And some of you have heard this before, but when it goes to Gehenna, Gehenna translated into Hebrew literally means the Valley of Hinnom, which the Valley of Hinnom was south of Jerusalem, and it's where they took their chamber pots. Anybody in the military knows there's a tradition that you did not want to be on. And as of right now, this is how bad it is. As of right now, they are, the military is being brought in to judgment on the burning of human waste and the people that they kept putting on it because they're getting sick. They've realized this was stupid. But anyhow, that's what they did. They took their feces to this valley, dumped it, and they ignited it. They would burn it, probably put some oil on it and lit it so that it would burn. So this thing was constantly, you think about it, you're outside a major city. Did the fire ever go out? It stunk. It was putrid. So the people had an idea what he was talking about. The hellfire, that is what you're in danger of. The guys in the military did not want that job. Okay? I've watched some movies where that was put in there, and they also had to put them up on the back of a 6x. Now, for me, that's quite a doing because the bed of a 6x is about right there. We had 5 tons, not deuce and a halves. So it was about right there. So if you ever see these guys jumping out of the back of a 5-ton with all their stuff on and, yeah, oh, that's so easy, I could do that. It's right here, and you've got nearly 100 pounds of extra gear on you. Your knees can only do so much. Most of us rolled when we hit the ground. But you got to pick that up, so you guess what's coming? Yep, you're taking a bath. It's bad. It's so bad, but yet people still to this day are tearing down their brothers and sisters. Jesus tried to get us through all this. Just because you're not in my camp does not mean you're against me. He said, as long as you're preaching Jesus Christ, you are with me. We have got to get that understood. Now, and just because somebody may, I do not consider people who are twisting the word of God to be brothers in the Lord. You're twisting it. There's so much perversion happening right now in mainstream religion that they're accepting things that they're not supposed to be accepting. You wouldn't accept a liar as your preacher, would you? No. But, so when we tear down our brother and sister, we go at them and we just start tearing them up. We are in danger of judgment. The judgment is of the council, of the local council. They will decide your fate. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the Lord, or to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you. Notice how he said that. You know your brother has something against you. Leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Because let me tell you, here's what Jesus was pointing out. He said, people will bring their gift to the altar. Oh, wait a minute, my brother's got something. And they take it back with him. Well, I'm just going to keep that. They never do give it to God. The tithes and offerings, they don't go to me. My salary does come out of them, but they go to God. That is how we do all this. It's how we keep the lights on, the heat. But God is the one you're giving it to. And he's saying, you're taking from me. It's why in Malachi he said, you rob me when you don't bring the tithes and the offerings into the storehouse. But go and make things right with your brother. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge and the judge hand you over to the officer and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid to the last penny. Folks, we have got to start realizing we're imperfect. And if we think that we have hurt somebody, we need to address it. And I'm talking about some of the things that he just said. Attacks on their character. Attacks on their personal being. Let me tell you right now, you call somebody stupid, it sticks with them. Especially if it's a child. For years I thought I was stupid. And then a teacher told me I wasn't. He told me I was smart. Again, he added other words on that. But he was the first person that ever told me I was smart. And I realized I'm not dumb. I do stupid things. We all do stupid things, right? If you ain't got any scars, you haven't lived. And you haven't done anything stupid. But agree with him quickly, or else you will be paying. He's talking about things right here in our natural, folks. Everybody wants to turn everything spiritual. Well, he's talking spiritual. He's talking about something physical right here, right now. Why? Because that's what you actually control. You control what you do. You control what you say. In the heated moment, yeah, something might come out. And that you should not have let go. Verse 27, you have heard it said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. By the way, this applies to women too. Just get that out there. I honestly did not know how bad a woman could be till I worked in a factory. Dude, seriously? I mean, I was in the Marines for 4 years. Men are awful. We're awful. That's all there is to that. But that factory, that was a whole new world. Now, there were some good ones. There were some good women. But ones that were bad, they were bad. They made me blush. Okay? And they made sure all the other women in the factory knew it. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed it in his heart. I heard somebody say one time, they were sitting with Lester Summerall, and they were sitting in a mall. They were waiting for Lester's wife. She was in one of the stores. And he said, a good-looking woman walked by. He said, I just kind of followed her a little bit. He said, when I did, I was looking right at Lester Summerall, looking at me. And he says, oh, brother, I am so sorry, I'm so sorry. He said, listen, looking once, you're a man. But you keep looking, you're getting a problem. Okay? My wife and I, the boys and I, we've talked about things over the years, and you know, she'd be talking about something. And so we come to the revelation, and we talked about this. It's okay for her to say that a guy is good looking. And it's okay for me to say if a woman is good looking. But if we keep fantasizing about that person, we have a problem. He said, if you look to a woman to lust after her, you look, I like that perfume. Or I like that dress, or whatever it was. Honey, let's go to the perfume section. I really like that. But how many people, I cannot tell you, and here's where the problem gets in. Social media will tell on you, folks. You put posts on here, these half-naked men and half-naked women. Sometimes I realize you got hacked. But your comments were not hacked. Oh, baby! No, you didn't need to comment. You didn't need to share that. You're now lusting after a man who may be married, I don't know. But it doesn't matter. You don't need to lust after him. You have your spouse. If you're single, keep praying. Keep believing. But we have got to watch what we're looking at. Look, huh? Because I've told Angela over the years, I said, you know what? One thing God has really changed me. As I started maturing, as a young man, and any man in here that sits here and says, I'm gonna call you a liar to your face. You found your wife as a young man because as a young man, you are led around with your eyeballs. Oh, that's a pretty girl. Let me go over here. That's a pretty girl. I used to go to the mall to look at girls as a single man. Once you get a girlfriend, though, guys, you have got to stop that. You will regret it. But over the years, my wife is gorgeous. Okay? But I told her over the years, I said, what I have realized is, we know this. Looks are fleeting. I mean, I've lost my eyebrows. I keep looking in these pictures. I'm like, I've got proof. I've got pictures. I had eyebrows. I have no idea where they go. But I mean, they're all about that long from time to time. But I had eyebrows. I said, my eyebrows go away. I mean, my forehead seems to have gained some ground. Oh, well, she still thinks I'm a hunk, so I don't care. Ain't nothing I can do about it. Maybe a magic marker and color in some hair, but do my eyebrows up. But I said, what I have found more attractive is the sweetness of a godly woman. That is more attractive. Because life's going to change after you have a baby. I mean, look at me. I was 130. I won't tell you what I'm at now. But I buy stretchy jeans. And to think I used to make fun of guys who had to buy those. You young men, be careful of what you make fun of. All right. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than your whole body be cast into hell. Now let's stop and think about this for just a moment. You're a little wondering eye here that's looking at guys, gals. He said, pull it out. You know why? Because you'll be thinking twice the next time. You know what? He ain't worth it. She ain't worth it. Cut your hands off. A little five-finger discount here and there. Cut your hands. That's what they do in Middle Eastern countries. They cut your hands off. They'll cut one off, and then they at least left you to be able to work a little bit. This is what Jesus was teaching. Seems to be a bit extreme, don't it? But he was trying to get it through to us that we are in control of this and that we have the power to stop it. So if going to the mall causes you to sin, you got Amazon. Quit going to the mall and sitting in the food court. Which I don't even know. I know Marion's Mall is, that's where we used to go. For those of you that, it's like, man, was there like three stores in it now? Jesus was telling us we have got to go above and beyond what is just legal. We know that if we hate our brother, we're the same as a murderer. I believe that's James that says that. The same. Why? Because you will eventually, you'd let hate. That's why I taught you several years ago. I may have to try to find my notes or redo them on that message. We were not built to hate. Hate came as a revelation of right and wrong. Okay? We were not built. We were built to love. Cain killed his brother Abel because jealousy came in. And jealousy came in and fueled hatred. And hatred fueled his anger so much that he was able to kill his brother. And yet we say, well, I hate this, I hate that, I hate. Stop your hating. I'm not saying you love sin. But here's the problem the church has. They cannot separate the sin from the sinner. We were still sinners and Jesus Christ died for us. So we have got to be able to start loving the person and seeing past the sin. That is what God showed me about that campground. It's in the blotters all the time. Theft, drugs, menacing. Anybody who has done anything, I mean, we've had police chases come down our road because they're looking for somebody who's running through the woods because they came from there. And I'm like, God, I moved out here to the country. You know, a man back when I was growing up, man, nobody came down the road. But now they're chasing people. But God has helped me to see, to pray for the people. Figure out the problem. That's my thing with this. Okay, so we clean it up. Then what? What are you going to do? All you did was cleaned up a mess that they're going to do again until something changes. And I don't see anybody giving an idea of what to do. We're going to turn the property back over to the same organization that let it become a problem. We have to start thinking outside the box, praying for the people, praying for the situation. That is why when we pray here on War on the Floor, man, we go after the drugs. We go after the human trafficking. We go after this stuff because this is our community, and God moves. He's still moving because of the prayers we prayed a year ago. And every time we pray, again, that's just refueling it. Boom, boom. We're just continuing to beat on that gate that has these people in prison. So God is doing things, but it's going to take us learning to love us personally. See, like I said, this sermon was to people like us. When we realize that without God, we're absolutely nothing. We have no righteousness. Our righteousness stinks because we've said or done things and we don't realize, well, that's just who I am. Sometimes who I am needs to change. I've told you this before. How many of you prayed for your spouse to change and then later realized God didn't change your spouse, He changed you? Nearly every time. And there's actually been a couple times where he actually did work on her heart. But he had to work on mine first. In any given situation. That's why I tell you, if you're having problems at work with a supervisor, pray for them. Ask God to help you. First off, when you understand the situation, you actually start looking at it a little differently. I think it was Andrew Carnegie wrote this book. I know it was Andrew Carnegie wrote the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Now, by the way, that's just total manipulation on knowing human characteristics. But most of it is truth that works in the church. If you want to win an argument, put yourself in their shoes. Then you can have a winner in the argument. Both of you. Because you're going to see their side of the story. See, Pat and Brenda's view right now is different than my wife's. If I turn to her, their view changes. Once we start realizing that somebody else had a different view on it, somebody else had a different take, we didn't realize that the words we said did not come out the way we heard. You know, it's just always kind of the joke that the husband, when he said something to his wife and he looks at her expression on her face, and he says, "What did you hear me just say? I need to know what I just said and how you heard it." Because the inflections in our voice change things. So we have got to remember that. So this week, yeah, we know there's, if you've been around, there's changes coming. We're resisting. I don't like them any more than anybody else. Pray. Before I leave here today, we're going to pray for peace to encompass this state, because the devil is doing what he can to stop what God wants to do. We will pray. And then we will improvise, adapt, and overcome. But God is not through with us yet. He's not through with this country yet. If He were, we wouldn't be here. That's all I got to say about that. Amen? So let's stand. Now, for those of you who are not for sure, I'm going to tell you what's happening. I read the orders myself last night to just I myself have been, stores have not been enforcing it. There are certain stores that were, but others were not. What our governor has done is he has created a Gestapo. People are going to call his little 1-800 hotline and tell on you, and the store is going to get fined. That's how he's doing it. He's not my enemy. He's not my friend. But he's not my enemy. And I will pray for him. But that is fascist control. So he's probably even poking in on this, which is my only concern about going live. I say things sometimes. But I'm going to pray for my governor. If I have to wear my mask, I will wear my mask so that the store that I'm going into does not get penalized. But by no means take it that I'm just laying down. Marines always have a thing. We don't retreat. We just find another way to fight. We're just fighting in another direction. So understand that we ain't retreating. We're just fighting in another direction. And when we come through whatever the devil is trying to throw up in this country and in this state, then we're going to knock the devil out of commission for a long time. But know this, we have to do what we have to do. Don't panic. Don't freak out. Yeah, who said that? Thank you. Don't be a jerk. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, our schools are going to be getting hit with stuff. Justin's school, they pulled 114 out that were quarantined. What's Mount Gilead doing right now? Still in the hybrid? Okay. They're hybrid and middle school up. So, you know, right now it's middle school and up for Northmore as well. So, all the schools are going to experience some changes, some things that are not fun. I get it. Folks, listen, I hate having to preach to people on a camera. I love it when you're here. There's a whole different atmosphere. So, guess who's not going to a tree stand this afternoon? The guy who had a tree fall on him last year, that's who. I told people, I said, I was hunting a week ago, and I said, I'm sitting there in my tree stand, and I'm being a good boy, and I just find it more difficult to sit still anymore. Usually I've got a little blind around me, and I can move my feet. But I'm sitting there, and I said, the wind starts blowing. I'm seeing them treetops. The tree I'm in is a good live cherry tree, but it's doing this. And I'm in a tree stand that is strapped to it pretty good, and I'm rocking back and forth, and then a tree limb broke out of a tree 50 yards away, and it fell, and I nearly jumped out of the tree stand. And I said, you know what? It might be time to go back home. I ain't going to hit anything in here. I'm going to shoot this way, and my arrow's going to end up over there. So, yes. Yeah. Yeah, there's... Yeah. Yeah. Lord, I've about bit the end of my tongue off. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let's pray, shall we? Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that we can come to you with these requests. Father, we thank you that Jesus taught us that whatever we bring to you in his name, that you would do it. And Father, first off, we pray for us. We pray for humility. We pray for wisdom. We pray for peace. Father, I thank you for continued strength for those who are working with the public. Father, we can't control people's words. We can't control their attitudes, but we can control us. And Father, we know that we can bring peace through prayer in these situations. Lord, and I pray for people in here right now and watching online. Father, if they have to deal with the public, Lord, I pray right now that your peace would rest upon them, and that whenever an agitated soul would come in, that they would be at peace while they're being dealt with by your people. Lord, I pray for wisdom for all of us. Father, as we go through this thing, Lord, I thank you and praise you that truth will be known. Father, if there's anybody pulling puppet strings, Lord God, that these puppet strings will get cut, people will be realized, Father, and that this thing can be dealt with. Now, Father, I realize that your word says that there is an Antichrist and he's been around since Jesus. And Father, this thing is going to happen. We're not going to stop it. So, Father, we will go through what we have to. We will do what we have to. But we know that through you, we will not miss a beat. We will not go hungry. Our shelves shall not be empty. We will bless others. Father, I thank you and praise you right now that you're moving across this state in a wave of peace. Father, not a wave of fear, but a wave of calm peace that we know that we're going to rise up and be victorious. Father, I thank you again for healing your people, healing the people that are at home, touching them, Lord God. I thank you that you're restoring their bodies. And now, Father, I pray for everybody here today. I bless them. Lord, I pray that as they do go about their business, Father, those working in the public, Father, that when they come in, peace will rest upon. Their peace will stay wherever they're at. Father, I thank you and praise you that you're moving in their lives, Father God, that you're settling things, you're bringing calm and peace to them, Father, that no matter what the governor says or what the governor does, Lord God, that you are ultimately in charge. So, Father, I thank you and praise you that you're going to be doing things that will undermine what the enemy has set to do. In Jesus' name, amen.